So let's review the story of Naaman in a nutshell. He was a successful leader of the armies of the king of Syria. Naaman had been victorious against the armies of Israel to the south. On one such raid, a young Israelite girl was taken prisoner and ended up back in Syria as the personal maid to Naaman's wife. One day, that girl told her mistress that there's a man of wisdom, power, and prophecy back home in the Samaritan region of central Israel, a prophetic voice for God by the name of Elisha. And this girl was certain that Elisha could cure Naaman. You see, for all of his military prowess and his great connections with the king of Syria, Naaman also bore the burden of a disease. His Achilles heel was that he suffered from a leprous skin disease. In the Bible, we often hear about leprosy, now called Hansen's disease. Leprosy is a bacterial disease that creates pale or reddish patches on the skin that cause a loss of sensation. It may or may not be painful. Now, today, leprosy is 100% treatable, but not back then. In pre-scientific times, leprosy was often viewed as a consequence because you or your parents had done something bad or wrong or sinful. Ancient cultures assumed that most disease was a sign of God's judgment. Now, some cultures shunned and isolated leprous persons. Apparently, that was not the case in Syria. So when Naaman heard what the little Israelite girl had told his wife, Naaman went to his king, told him that apparently there was someone in Israel who could cure him, and asked for leave in order to travel there. Well, the king so valued Naaman that he said, "Wait, take these with you," and gave him a letter of introduction to the king of Israel. The Syrian king also sent along a bunch of gold and silver and clothing, as a gesture of goodwill toward this neighboring king, by the way, whose forces he had just defeated in battle not too long earlier. So when Naaman arrived in the Samaritan region of Israel, presented the letter of introduction to the king of Israel, the king freaked out. "What's he trying to pull?" the king of Israel shouted. "Does your king think I'm a god with powers of life and death that I can cure sickness? Obviously, he's trying to provoke me into fighting again." But Elisha the prophet heard about the king of Israel getting all worked up, and he sent word to the king. He said simply, "Just send him to me." So Naaman and his entourage went to the address they were given, expecting a royal welcome from this man of power and healing. Instead, Elisha sent a servant to the gate to tell Naaman to wash himself in the Jordan River. 7 times to wash himself. And that would cure him. Well, Naaman was indignant. He was incensed. He was offended. This healer didn't even have the decency to greet his arrival, to welcome him into his house. He sent a message through a servant, no less. Naaman felt he was being mocked, toyed with, dismissed. Naaman's inflated ego was bruised. Naaman said to his servants, "Thought he would at least come out to me, pray to the Lord his God, wave his hand over the distressed spot, cure me." So Besides, aren't the rivers Abana and Pharpar back in Damascus better than any river in Israel? I could have washed in them and been cured. Once Naaman had cooled down enough to be able to hear anything, his servant said to him, "If you'd been instructed to do something difficult, complicated, you'd have done it in order to be healed. So why not just do what he says and see if you are cured?" So he did. And he was. Can it be that easy? Can our faith really be as simple as believing that what God promises is to be trusted? I mean, we often talk about the challenges and demands of being a follower of Jesus. And that's true. Christians aspire to choose God over self. Christians try to emulate Jesus, his ability to love unconditionally, his humility, his obedience. I mean, living like that is not only countercultural, but it's against our human nature, which would have us focus on what? Our wants, our needs first. So yes, living a Christ-like life is challenging. And yet, in another way, becoming a follower of Jesus is really pretty simple. The book of Acts tells us in chapter 10, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who were listening to his message. The Jewish believers were amazed that God had poured out his gift of the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles also. But Peter spoke up, saying, "These people have received the Holy Spirit just as we also did. Can anyone then stop them from being baptized?" That was it. They listened, they heard, they believed, and they began to follow. Or when Paul and Silas had been imprisoned in Philippi, imprisoned for protesting an act of human trafficking. When they were imprisoned, the power of God provided for their escape. And in those days, a prison break meant death to the jailer who was responsible. And so Acts 10 tells us, the jailer called for a light. He rushed in. He fell trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas, who were then sitting unshackled in an open cell. Then the jailer led them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your family." That was it. They listened, they heard, they believed, and they began to follow. Jesus himself didn't complicate matters. He kept it pretty simple, as Carol said. After 3 years with his disciples, 3 years of talking and walking, teaching and preaching, healing and revealing, after 3 years with them, at the end of their time together, Jesus gave his disciples a way to be able to recall all that they had learned from him. Jesus said, "When you eat, remember me. When you drink, remember me." That was it. They listened, they heard, they believed, they remembered. Now, I'm I'm not poo-pooing intense religious study, discussion. I'm not dismissing time-consuming efforts involved in mission work. I mean, thought-provoking theological discussions can be stimulating, invigorating, helpful. Delving deeply into biblical history and the study of Scripture can be educational, enlightening, inspiring. Complex, demanding engagement in matters of the Spirit all have their place. But this morning we heard that Elisha the prophet showed Naaman the military commander that doing the right thing could be pretty simple and clear. Naaman's discovery of simple obedience can serve as a reminder that our calling to be Christian is pretty simple. Love God, love others, love always. Love God. Love others. Love always. Say that with me. Love God. Love others. Love always. Amen.